Hey everyone, welcome back to The Growth Signal, where we are reimagining the future of customer relationships, how we build them, how we keep them, and how we continue to lead as customer expectations rapidly evolve. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And my name is Ken Cox.
And we are going to have a fantastic conversation. So Ken, let's get right into it. What is your hot take?
Alyssa, first, thank you for having me today. I very much appreciate your time and energy. My hot take, I just got home from the International Impact Awards, and my speech was all about this planet is your gift, and you get to live on it, and it's rare. I know that there's 8 billion of us on this planet, but when you really think about the things that we're pushing towards right now in quantum computing and the advancements in AI, the fact that we get to be a living right now in this time is so exciting, scary, inspiring, and all of those things. So what my best recommendation to everybody right now, my hot take is to your planet, do on it what you choose to do, the things that make you happy. And right now I beg everybody to play with every AI that they possibly can, get their hands dirty, make whatever they thought they were making, that high school project that you didn't have the tools to do when you were in high school. You can make that short film now. You can make that music now. You can do it on your own terms across the board. The barrier to entry on art and creation has been dropped so low that any creative spark that you have right now, get running fast. And I think if the people that do that are going to excel in the future, and the people that kind of stand off on AI and don't fully adopt it, they're going to be in a lot of trouble.
There's almost too many things that I want to follow up there. I'm like frantically taking notes because there's so many things that you're saying that I vehemently agree with. I always joke with people that someday my like graduation speech, if I go give a grad speech at my alma mater, is going to be why you should never take a full-time job right out of college, take the unpaid role at a startup that may or may not work out. And like, cause that's what I did. I left college. I turned down offers for normal jobs where you had a 401k and a salary and paid time off. And I joined a pre-revenue startup that had never made a dollar in its life. And I was 100% commission. I would eat what I killed. And right out of college, I had a degree. I had choices. It's not like I was, you know, just like settling for something, but I saw something that I wanted. And my motto at the time and still is, was be all in or be all out. And yeah. I wanted to be all in on this concept. It's why I make a terrible gambler, because I'm just all in every time. But, you know, it was one of those things where like I took that risk and I have had an incredible opportunity. We were joking before the podcast that I always tell people like I'm living the dream. And it's because I really am. Like, it's not a joke. I'm not being sarcastic. I have a great life that I've built intentionally for myself. But I want to key in directly to your hot take. And I was listening to, I think it was like some NPR show. I don't remember the details, but they were talking about AI generated music. And it was an artist who was on the show. And she was saying that there's this album on Spotify that is 100% AI generated. The lyrics are AI generated, the singer, the music, everything that goes into this album. And she was talking about how it degrades her as an artist because this AI generated album is out there. And my immediate reaction was like, oh no, I can totally understand that because art is a human thing. But then I kind of sat back and I said, but is this the same way that we felt about electric guitars? Does an electric guitar degrade an acoustic guitar, right? Is this the same way that we felt about when we recorded on reels versus digitally recording music? Does digital recording degrade reel, like the reels that you would used to record on? And I've kind of landed on like AI is a tool of human creativity. And the fact that I use it differently than you might doesn't necessarily diminish my creativity and my ability to create things.
Yeah, I would disagree that it's a tool. I would think it's, time will tell here. Like, we don't know. And I think we're going to have AI rights and other things. If human, being a human is just energy and mass with a whole bunch of data, I don't know how the energy and the mass of the board with a whole lot of data, that intelligence is much different than humanity. And I don't know how we're going to figure that one out. This is indistinguishable. I don't believe that AI was invented. I believe it was discovered.
Very cool. Tell me more about that.
I believe all things are always known, and we're in a universe and we happen to live in a third dimension, right? And I think it's when you start talking about quantum computing and qubits, understanding that when you really understand like RAID sets and stuff like that, you understand that you have to have a, you know, a watcher, right? And the watcher for a qubit can't be in the same dimension.
Yeah.
Because as soon as the quantum state collapses, it all collapses. But that's way, that's
maybe a little too.
We should not go down that path it further because.
No, maybe not for a little too heavy.
We had to execute the watcher from a different dimension. And yeah. I'm not sure that I understand that completely.
Yeah.
But that's the only way you know the end result of the binary question, you know, which one collapsed and which one didn't, and what was the answer. So, yeah. But they're doing it somehow.
To your point, like we live in a wild time, and I know it feels like we, you know, unprecedented times becomes the standard, right? And if you're always in an unprecedented time, is it really unprecedented, I guess?
Alyssa, I grew up on the internet. I was an SSD kid, special school district, so I rode the short bus. I couldn't read or spell. And we're talking about the 70s, right? This is mm-hmm. when they tried to beat the autism out of you. And so I have had a keyboard in front of me since the age of 7 years old. I've been through the dot-com bubble, the telecom bubble. You know, I was on a 14 baud modem through Wash U when I was, you know, 15, 16 years old. And Moore's law is broken. We are advancing so quickly right now. I don't even know what it is. Every single week we have enormous advancements. You know, 2 months ago, I predicted that in 5 years, we'll be able to make a movie by voicing the direction. And I think it's 5 weeks away.
Yeah.
From right now.
Right? Yeah. I'm seeing all these videos on TikTok of like that are
what is the art?
Google because video free. Right.
I believe the art is in the direction and the spark in my mind. I think that's where the art is. I don't think the art is in the technical of learning where the keys are on the board. I don't think the art is. Acting's different, right? Embodying an emotion from another human is a challenge. But, you know, I think a lot of that stuff is technical. The musician's is a technical job. It's not an artist job.
Yeah. Interesting. And like flies in the face too of kind of, and I think that's what we're going to keep seeing a lot as we continue to progress and this technology continues to be discovered, that all of the sudden things that we thought we understood that art was a squishy feely thing is maybe true, but the execution of art is a technical thing. Right. And so
it always has been, right? Like making art is like we get excited about the spark of energy and what it's going to look like at the end. The tediousness of stitching film together or stitching mm-hmm. notes together or laying those over, that's tedious, monotonous work. I don't think it's for humans.
No, I couldn't agree more.
At least I want to think.
Right. I want to think. I don't want to do the parts that take, we were just talking about, I'm doing an analysis for a survey and all I'm sitting here thinking about is like, how can I make this survey do the hard work for me so that I can think about what it means rather than think about like, okay, how do I connect this question to that question to make them do something and all of that. So yeah, I can agree with you more, but you know, your hot take was really that now is the time to go out and do something to get your hands dirty, to get that itch and to make good. Yeah, now's the time to play. So if someone is ready to do that, if they're looking around and saying, I'm not living my best life, I'm not living the dream, I'm not, you know, enjoying what I'm doing, I think you joked in the beginning, I'm living someone else's dream right now. What is the first thing you would have them do? How do they start playing in this honestly overwhelming landscape of options?
You know, so many people are at so many different stages of where they're at. I would say, you know, if you've got a little bit of a spark and you want to learn, I would get on YouTube and just search for what's new in AI. There's a lot of great people today that are doing tons of research. They're researching this stuff all day long for you and then putting in a nice digestible 5 and 10 minute clips so that you can watch it. And you can get all that education super fast. And they're just doing it for the ad revenue. They're not even charging you, right? So get on. One of the guys' name's Matt. I forget his last name. They're making really good, high quality content, teaching you about all the different tools. And so I think if people can start adopting that mindset of, okay, it's such a cool time. Henry Ford was famous for saying, hey, I don't need to know everything. I need to know how to hire everybody that knows everything. Well, you have that for $20 a month right now. You have every specialist in every field that's ever existed on planet Earth in your pocket for $20. If you're not curious about something right now, what were you curious about when you were 10 or 12 or 14 years old? And go to GPT and start typing that in and say, how can I make this my full-time life? And how can I make money with this? And how can I enjoy my life better with this concept? And just talk with it back and forth. And then from there, ask it how. And it'll tell you, it'll give you some ideas. You just show up every day and do the things that you love doing, then cool stuff will happen.
And I think that, you know, it's hard for it's us sitting here saying that we're both kind of entrepreneurial personalities, right? We're obviously here doing the things that entrepreneurs do. So it's a little bit of like, okay, Alyssa, okay, Ken, like you are this personality. I'm not that personality. Yes. So if someone kind of has that spark, but does have a fear around entrepreneurship in general, what is the types of things that you would have them do to go from, you know, I'm playing around, I have an idea, to actually thinking about like, could this be something that I spend my days doing? Can I live my best life doing this thing that I love?
You can. It's a longer run, right? Everybody's different. They're in a different spot. I would say if it's really something you're serious about doing, and you should be, the micro entrepreneur, micro SaaS companies, micro everything is going to be, and I'm not a psychic, but it's going to be a huge part of our economy moving forward. We live in a world today that I can go on Twitter and I could talk to the richest, most powerful people on our planet. If I don't have a phone, if I have nothing, I was born homeless, so this is so cool to me that I just have a phone and I can talk to the most powerful people on our planet. And sometimes I get replies.
Yeah, right? They might even talk back.
And you can too, right? And understanding that is just, you have so much opportunity on this planet right now. Whatever it is, and I don't care if it's like, hey, I really love SpongeBob, right? There's something out there like that you can go figure out to do and figure that out. Maybe it's characters, maybe it's clothing, you know, who knows, but we're here. It is now. It's not going to go away. Our government is not going to save you. Our government does not have a clue what to do right now. I'm a huge fan of capitalism, but I do not think that it works in 2027. I think capitalism has to die. We need a new system, if not before then.
Well, and especially with, like, to our point, everything is changing so quickly, they can't possibly keep up, right? Like I was talking with an entrepreneur a couple of weeks ago, and they were telling me about they've been working on their MVP for like almost a year. And I said, I am so sorry to tell you this, but the odds that your MVP is still commercially relevant to your target audience are like zero. Because if you can't build and ship an MVP and like get it tested and qualified and into the market within
a day,
a couple of days, couple of weeks, you've probably already missed the mark. And if you're trying to solve for a problem that people have today, it's probably too late for the problem that you have.
I would disagree with that.
You think so?
I think specialty stuff, right? So what I see, I'm working on a paper right now and I'm calling it the City Oracle AIs. I see highly customized, right? I see
like super niche.
Yeah, almost like the internet in the late 90s, early 2000s, right? You had all of these individual bulletin boards and individual blogs and people sharing their personality, right? MySpace was really cool. Facebook screwed it all up. They said, use your real name, use your real pictures, get rid of anonymous behavior on the internet, and everybody wear the same exact outfit all day, every day. And nobody wants to live in that world, right?
Yeah.
It's gray. Nobody wants that. So I think the ability to be able to say, hey, I'm Alyssa Nolte. I've got my, my fan base of, I don't know what your fan base is, 10,000, 100,000 people, whatever that is. I can make an app for them specifically. right?
Yes. And I agree with you on that. What I'm seeing, though, is people are trying to build enterprise level end-to-end solutions that are supposed to do everything. And I think that's dead.
That is dead. B2B SaaS is over.
Okay. I agree.
And I've sold over $100 million in B2B SaaS.
People do not want...
I've not been able to sell it in 2 years.
Well, and like that's the... I'm building a small, like very niche, as you said, very niche specific app for the types of people that we work with. It is very specific to these customers and it does not have broad applicability to basically anyone. And everyone's like, well, why wouldn't you add this? So it's more, you know, more interesting to a broader range of people. I'm like, because as soon as I add that, it no longer becomes relevant. It no longer becomes useful. It's no longer specific to their specific use case that they're working on. And the era of having one system that does it all is dead. And now it's all about, I have these X number of point solutions that do very specific tasks for me. And I don't have this bloatware of a CRM instance that has all this crap in it that I never even open or never use in the right way in the first place.
Absolutely.
So,
and with that topic, specific piece, and I know that you asked me my hot take and I said, play hard. I would say right when you're done with that, if you're playing hard, you got a concept, you've got an idea and you want to start running with it, raise your freak flag as high as you can. Call every other person that's like you to you. Just raise it up and just talk about it and be the most authentic you that you can be. And you will find your tribe and you'll be able to make cool art for them. You'll be able to make cool tools for them. You'll be able to help them out in different ways that are unique to your abilities, right? And then your friends will do it too. And everybody will find value in different ways and rise everybody's ships.
I hope so too, because I've had this conversation where that's the part that I think a lot of people are unwilling or too afraid to do, right? They do not want to put themselves out there. They do not want to risk the public ridicule. And like, how do we help people get over that?
Well, I'm currently writing a book that helps that, but it's not going to be out till 27, 28. Just being your authentic self and practicing, it's hard. It's challenging, right? You have to stay away from negative people. You got to stay away from negative behavior. You've got to, I think the biggest piece of advice that was ever given to me was, Ken, I understand that you cannot predict your next thought, but you sure as hell can choose what it's going to be. So every morning, choose what you're going to think, how you're going to think. And at first, they're really hard.
Because the really default is like,
you don't know how you're going to pay the bills. You know, all this life is hitting you. You have to embody joy and happiness and look for that everywhere. And it gets easier every single day that you do it. And you almost get to a delusional state to where the negativity just kind of goes off. And then you start, you start doing the things on a daily basis that the kind of person that you want to be does. And that attracts the kind of work that you want to do to you. It's just that simple because you're doing the work that those kinds of people do.
Right. And people want to be around people who are lit up, right? Like I want to be around people that are excited and passionate and are loving what they're doing. It's not as much fun to be around the people who hate their jobs, hate their lives, hate their spouses, hate their, their situation. They're not fun to be around.
I'm coming to a conclusion very recently about that.
Oh, tell me.
I believe that whenever you get into a toxic loop, that toxic loop becomes your own addiction set of dopamine receptor fulfillment.
That makes sense.
And you're addicted to arguing with the people that you're arguing with. And it is such a hard loop to break down. And if you know anything about dopamine receptors and
I have a son who's ADHD, so I know quite a bit about that process.
So when you start thinking about that negative behavior as an addiction that needs to be broken, it becomes more challenging. And when you understand addiction, which I understand better than most people on the planet, it makes a whole lot of sense on why it's self-deprecating and all that stuff. But we got to do our best to help the people out that are stuck in those loops.
It makes total sense too. Like one of the things they teach you when you're a parent with a kid with ADHD, they're like, sometimes he'll fight with you just for fun, because he enjoys the dopamine he gets from arguing with you. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. That I see that all the time. And so it makes, I think your theory's right.
So she'll do it.
Yeah. So
the bigger, and it's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard. Just like to walk away. This is the way that it is, and not argue about it, because you got to get the dopamine receptors to die.
And especially as an entrepreneur, it might not even be obvious pressures like, oh, like the bills to pay and, you know, making money. But it could be as simple as like your family wondering why you're leaving your stable job to go do something that you find interesting and exciting. Because we don't tend to reward entrepreneurs until they're successful for making the attempt.
Yeah, I have this syndrome. I call it underdog syndrome, where I love the underdog. I always give the underdog a chance, right? To my own detriment. It took me a long time to figure that out. The biggest downfall in business that I've ever had is aligning with people that have a negative or toxic trait that and try to help them overcome it. But realistically, they have to figure that out themselves and create their own journey. But, so keeping those people out, I think, has been my biggest downfall throughout my entire career, is keeping people that were in a negative mindset with me for too long.
Right. And not shedding that, and not realizing that it needed to be shedded.
Thinking that I could fix it.
Oh, you collect strays. I collect strays too. That's what I always told my husband.
Enough time and energy that I could help them see the light. And unfortunately, I cannot. And I've tried with, some of the most people that I love the most on the planet. But it is what it is. And we all move forward and do our own things.
So as solopreneurs or small businesses, there is a lot of pressure to compete with what I'll call the big dogs. So if I'm a solopreneur, I'm an entrepreneur, I work for a large organization or something like that, I'm ready to move on. How can I compete with some organization that has seemingly unlimited resources?
You do too.
Oh, tell me more. Okay, I love that reframe. So tell me why you think that.
What? I mean, so at the price of AI, what don't you have? Intelligence is democratized. You can pass every PhD, you're smarter than every PhD, or you have every discipline of PhD for $20 a month, right? That's Grok. Every PhD that's ever existed right there, you can ask it any question, you can pass every PhD exam. We're beating human intelligence with AI every single day. So you have that resource. Outside of that, on creation, video, audio, all those resources are there for you. What I think is going to, and this is what I'm working on right now, actually, I'm moving away from product completely. Inlink has its products. We got a great office product, and we got a great CRM with a whole lot of AI employee stuff in it. But our first front is just we're AI consultants. We do AI integrations and automations, and we're building AI departments for companies. Right. So, and this is not super expensive to do. We're talking about AI marketing departments for organics. So with innate ends and JSON scripts, we can not only say, hey, run this, but say, hey, you're a sales representative. Your job is to go out and get leads. And when you get a lead, hand it over to this one. And this one's job is to qualify those leads. And when you're done with that, hand it up to this one. And this one's to close those leads. And then, so we're not walking through just an agent anymore. We're creating AI departments. So you have a researching AI that goes out and says, hey, this is my product, my service. I'm going to research the internet for what's hot and topic right now. I'm going to take that and I'm going to hand it over to my creation AI employee that's going to make 10 videos. And I'm going to hand it over to my social media person, post them. And I've got another one that's going to go and look at all those things. And I'm talking about an AI department like that. We're talking about right now, I'm building them for $3,000 to $5,000, and you get to execute it for a couple bucks a run. But I think in 6 months, it'll be $45.
That is wild to me. And like, it makes sense what you're saying, right? Like as you're talking, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, that makes total sense. And I love the pivot in particular to the AI consulting, because I do feel like it is a little bit of the wild, wild west. And one of my frustrations when I'm hearing people talk about AI is that they understand they should use it. They generally understand it in the same way that like a 16-year-old knows how to drive a car, but but could they get under the hood and understand how it actually functions and how it actually works? Because the more you know about the actual AI experience and the way it functions, the better you can prompt engineer, the better you can feed it. And maybe that'll change as it, you know, gets smarter and smarter and we start to learn more about how to use it. But I love the idea of helping people figure out how to get to that point faster without having to spend too much time wasting their time.
Yeah, I mean, I went through MIT's AI program about 3 years ago, right when 3.5 hit. I went to MIT, I'm like, I need AI. Honestly, I've been in the data center industry. I built my first data center in 2001, right? I've been in the data center industry. I've built data centers for some of the largest companies on the planet. I did not see AI coming the way that it did. Until 3.5 came out, I'm like, oh, this is just a bunch of queries, right? Jasper and 3.5, those were kind of clunky models. They didn't really work really well. And with the advancement there, I'm like, oh, and then I didn't think robots would be 20 or 30 years out. And I also thought AR would be, 10 or 15 years out. And when AI hit, it became really obvious that robotics and AR are going to be here almost instantly, right?
Right. The timeline of futurism, like you can't really be a futurist anymore because you open the a newspaper tomorrow and all of a sudden it's like everything you've ever been able to predict.
Yeah, I can't think fast enough anymore, right?
Like, that's why we got to have AI.
I cannot beat the AI. I did beat it today. I broke AI today.
Well, that should be our new like celebration. Like we worked it so hard, we ended up breaking it.
I just asked it to find n pi where the Fibonacci sequence starts to exist.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Well, I'm going to have to try that one out and see. Well, that'll be our measure, right? Our Turing test to see.
It can't figure it out.
when it can do that, that's when we'll know it's time to move on.
Looping infinity would be hard, but yes.
Considering all of the incredible people that you've had a chance to meet in your career, as you've built your businesses, as you've learned more about AI, who else is out there? Who is leading the charge and driving business into the future?
Yeah, you got your big ones. And I'm going to stick with all the big ones right now, right? Elon, I think, is the most profound character on our planet at the moment. He is giving, not only is he doing everything he's doing, but he's giving everyday people a platform, a soapbox they can get on and talk to the most powerful people on our planet. Once you're on X, the two that I would follow most would be Mark Cuban and Gary Vee. Mark Cuban, just for his solid business acumen, advice on everything that he does and what he's doing for our medical environment in this country. He should have a Pope hat on because he's done more for humanity than anybody else that I've seen in a very, very long time. And then Gary Vee for his emotional intelligence and how he pushes that forward. It is really nice. And it lets you know that, hey, there are people that care. And, originality and in human, soft human skills is going to be what wins this game now. Like it's a different game than it was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's human skills and emotion management and dealing with that stuff and understanding that you have to deal with humanity in the modality that human sees fit.
And if someone is connecting with you and they want to find you online, where should they go?
Well, if they want to do business with me, nlink.com, nlink.com. I like to think of that as the link between Web 2.0 and Web 3.0. We help you with getting, automated AI employees, automations, workflows, whatever it is. I've taken all the packages away. I'm just doing flat retainers. You want us to do vibe coding for you and bust out an app, we'll do that. Like, it doesn't really matter, right? We've been writing code for decades and now it's just so fast and easy to do. So we're just doing flat retainers there. And if you want to know more about me personally, I don't keep it up to date as I should, but just kencox.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the Growth Signal. This was a really fascinating conversation.
Thank you, Alyssa.